Broadcasting live from the Business Radio X studios in Atlanta, Georgia, it's time for Atlanta Business Radio, spotlighting the city's best businesses and the people who lead them.
Hey, good afternoon, everybody. Welcome to the Shrimp Tank, brought to you here on Atlanta Business Radio X, where we interview the brightest and best business owners in the state of Georgia every single week about the do's and don'ts of starting, growing, and creating a successful business. The Shrimp Tank also brings you live pitches. We're going to talk about that today, of new business ideas from young, budding entrepreneurs in the state of Georgia in front of our panel of wonderful business owners. We actually did this in a school in Gwinnett County last week, which is fantastic. And find out whether your business will swim or will it sink in the tank. We have a great guest today. I'm going to introduce Chantel in just a minute and bring her on to talk about her business today. As always, I'm here with my sidekick and I guess partner in crime, Chris Hanks. What's going on today?
Hey, Ted. How are you doing?
And for those that don't know, Chris is the executive director and founder of the KSU Center for Entrepreneurship, which is growing like crazy here in the state of Georgia. Even since we started the Shrimp Tank, every single day we get more and more people who come to us and say, what's going on in the state of Georgia around entrepreneurship? And it is growing like wildfire. If you had seen the kids last week in Gwinnett at Mill Creek High School, it was absolutely phenomenal, was it not?
It was. It was fun. I mean, to see 500 high school students inspired about creating something better, that's amazing.
Yeah, and even our camera guy, Neil, seeing him inspired to get better was good too. He was wonderful on there. What's interesting is for folks that are just listening to the program for the first time, you can catch a replay of all of our podcasts on ShrimpTankPodcast.com. We had great guests the last several weeks. JC Ordonio, First Fence of Georgia, Steve Eisenstein from Classic Tents and Events. We had on Rhonda and Frank Duffy. How about having the number one real estate agent in the country on your show? And many, many other great guests that we will bring you in all sorts of fields so we can talk about entrepreneurship. And as we start the show, we always talk a little bit about entrepreneurship in general. And so I wouldn't mind, Chris, if you told the folks a little bit about what's going on at KSU with the top 100 and how that's also growing like wildfire.
Yeah, it really is. And it was amazing because just on Friday, KSU was closed for half a day given all those ice storm warnings. And we still had a ton of students show up for an event that we did. So it's just amazing to see that kind of passion that we're sort of tapping into. The thing that we're most excited about this semester is something called KSU Top 100, where we will select 100 candidates. We will partner 100 students with mentors in a format similar to, like, if you imagine what The Voice would look like if you coupled that with Shark Tank. That's what we're doing.
That's pretty darn cool.
It is very cool. And so there'll be a process of elimination. The students will be sort of held accountable to certain key performance indicators as they work with their mentors. And one will remain, and that one will get $100,000.
And if we get to judge, do we get to wear like a Pharrell hat or something like that?
You'd look good in a Pharrell hat. I'd like that. Yeah,
I
you would.
I will wear one wide brim here on the show if you want me to.
That would be stylish.
It's better than CeeLo's garb. I'd rather wear the hat than wear what CeeLo's wearing, you know? Blake, Adam, the other ones, you could do okay, but the other ones maybe not. Now, I always am tracking what's going on in the world of entrepreneurship. I love seeing successful businesses. And it was interesting. I was reading an article about culture. And I was curious about what you teach the kids at Kennesaw State when it comes to culture. You know, I read an article here on Zappos, and it says that when they do their interview that and they hire the candidates, that new employees are offered, I couldn't believe this when I read it, that they're offered $2,000 to quit after the first week of training if they decide the job isn't for them, which is amazing. How do you hire someone and say, by the way, if this isn't for you, I'll pay you $2,000.
Yeah.
Why in the world would a company ever insist on having something like that in their culture?
Yeah, and that's probably the most famous example, but there are a few companies that are also doing that. Because after you hire them for a month, and if they're not fitting in the culture, the type of person that would take $2,000 to leave is probably that person that's not fitting within your culture. And so it makes financial sense. It seems weird to say, hey, I'm going to pay a lot of money for someone to leave my company, but it makes a lot of sense because there's also studies that show if you remove one bad apple from your group, it tends to increase productivity by up to 30% of the people around you. So financially, it makes sense, even though it doesn't appear to.
I believe that. You know, I heard one time, you know, it's sort of that thing that there's three people in the room. The person with the dominant mood is the one that's going to take over the mood of the room. So getting rid of those bad apples quickly, you know, sort of reduces that negative culture. and lets the rest of the employees focus on the positive culture.
Absolutely. And culture is this really hard thing because it's very intangible. And how much time out of our days do you actually spend sort of actively managing culture? We tend to let it happen. And this is a way of sort of actively managing for that culture, saying, look, if you just don't feel like you're, if this is a home for you and you're not excited about the job, we'll give you $2,000 to walk out the door. And the type of people says, no way, I want $2,000. I want this job. Those are the people you want to keep.
That's very, very interesting. You know, I love reading Mark Cuban's blog. He's really one of my favorite entrepreneurs. It isn't just the Shark Tank. I've always liked Cuban in general. Even when he had to work at Dairy Queen, he basically took himself up on that and he literally ran a Dairy Queen for a day. But he had a very interesting column that he wrote, and he basically was poking fun at companies that have espresso machines and things like that. But one of the rules that he had about starting up a company is no offices, which I thought was really, really interesting. And he said, open offices keep everyone in tune with what's going on and keep the energy up. If an employee is about privacy, show him or her how to lock themselves up in the bathroom. Do you recommend that?
That's,
you know, when you're teaching these kids and say you're going to start a business, is it best to get in one of these collaborative spaces? And I can't wait to hear Chantel talk about it today. But is that the best idea, or do you go into, you know, a place that physically, like a Regis or a place that has offices to start a company?
Well, that actually seems to sort of there's a lot of that sort of rings true in that. You don't want to have this hierarchical environment. That's more and more outdated, right? So having sort of more flatlined organizations and organizations where you don't feel like, okay, you know, so-and-so gets a bigger cubicle and somebody gets the corner office. I've literally seen environments where people are measuring their cubicle and angry that somebody else has a bigger one.
Is that right?
So you want to remove that whole hierarchical type of feel. Now, as far as having everybody out in the open like that, that's probably an introvert's worst nightmare, but it would work. Say, hey, look, we want to create a culture where everybody's here, we're all collaborative, and sort of break down those barriers, because even those little cubicles that separate us sometimes, you know, will incent me to maybe send an email when I could just sort of say, hey, you know, I've got this question.
Yeah, that culture seems to basically foster the everywhere to shine, nowhere to hide mentality. Literally, you have nowhere to hide. I guess, of course, you work for Mark Cuban, then you'll end up in the bathroom locking yourself away, but it does make sense to me. Well, you're listening to The Shrimp Tank here on Atlanta Business Radio X. We're coming to you every Tuesday from 4 p.m. to 5 p.m. We interview some of the brightest and best entrepreneurs across the state of Georgia. We also go to a lot of high schools, and you're going to see this entire year, where we actually get to see young kids pitch their ideas in the Shrimp Tank about growing and starting and running a successful business. I'm very excited today to bring on our guest. I know her personally, but Chantel Cleef, who basically started in 2013. I want to make sure I get the name of the company right. You're the owner of Imagine Media Consulting. I got that right?
Yes, sir.
That's great. And so really what I think is really cool about her business is I think this world of social media is very difficult for companies today. And I see a lot of them that get ripped off out there. They don't know whether they should buy Facebook likes or where they should post or how they should post or how to create leads. And she's created this amazing company right now that shows companies how to get a voice online, how to be able to get their brand name out there, and how to generate more people to come to their business, which I think is, it's not just a necessity today, but it's going to be the future of how more and more companies build their overall client base in their business. So I want to say thanks for coming on the program today.
Thank you so much for having me, Ted and Chris.
So one of the questions I've got is, what are the biggest obstacles you faced in the past when you started your business?
Well, by no means is there a manual to start a business. So we're still, you know, figuring and working through challenges every day. But some of the biggest obstacles starting the company were still very much figuring out how to scale is something we're working on. And then finding the right people and really figuring out the correct questions to ask them when hiring and what our core values are. And then, you know, putting the right people in the right spot.
So you're building this Imagine Media Consulting, you're getting it up and going. And I heard you say here, I think something that we're hearing on the tank more and more is this idea of finding the right people. Mm-hmm. How do you even go about finding the right person for a social media business? It seems like that talent would be in short supply and demand would be very high right now.
Well, I think there's a common misconception that, you know, oh, I use Instagram every day at work or at school, and I'm on Instagram, I'm on Twitter personally. And so people graduating, you know, think that they know it all, but
I can do Snapchat.
Right. There has to be strategy to what you're doing. So there's a lot of education up front, at, you know, teaching our teammates, but finding the right person, we used to hire people just because we liked them. And now we're being more strategic of, do they fit into the company culture again? And do they have the right techniques and skills and personality traits to fit in and work hard?
So how do you screen for that? What's your process for screening potential employees?
You know, I actually just wrote down that process because I know that that is something we needed to work on. We have them send over our their resume in advance and social media links. So we'll screen that briefly. And then I personally will hop on a 15-minute brief with them, get to know them, what they're looking for in a potential job and what stood out in our company that they were attracted to, in addition to what's clients. So I would like to see that they're looking at our company, they're following along, they're engaged. And then from there, we have a sample blog post. So we'd like to see their creative writing skills. If they pass those, three little steps, we have them in and we do a turnstile type interview process, where they meet the entire team, they have the opportunity to ask questions themselves. And then from there, we call references, we have them do a project, and then we bring them back in for a coffee.
But there's no real proficiency test for this. Like if you test somebody for admin skills for Microsoft, you can take them on a test and get an idea. You're developing your own proficiency test to figure out if somebody has social media skills?
Yes, we do assign a project. So they're able to pick a local boutique or coffee shop or business. And they have to put together sample Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter posts prior to kind of continuing to move forward. So that's a little bit, we're able to track that a little bit, but yeah.
So you're actually getting them, you're sort of like test driving the employee in a way.
Absolutely.
Which is an interesting concept, mm-hmm. right? So you're getting them to perform some work for you before you actually hire them.
Yes.
Hey, you're listening to The Shrimp Tank here on Atlanta Business Radio X. We're coming to you every week from 4 p.m. to 5 p.m. in the studios here. You can always hear a replay, not only of today's show, but all of our shows on shrimptankpodcast.com, or you can follow us on Twitter at The Shrimp Tank. And we are putting out great information there for entrepreneurs. We're joined by Chantel Cleef today, who is the owner of Imagine Media Consulting. It's a great and growing social media firm here in Atlanta. And I'm curious about, this obviously wasn't the first job that you had out of school and you decided to start this business. How did the idea germinate to say, I'm going to make the switch from what I'm doing and basically strike out on my own and become an entrepreneur and start in this business, especially one that seems to be a very competitive business?
Yes. Well, to give you a little backstory, I was always the neighborhood girl planning the bike decorating contests and the field trips for the team. I mean, always more kind of in that leadership position. I went to Florida State and graduated with a degree in entrepreneurship, moved to Chicago and was working at a corporate job doing event planning and was starting to launch a wedding planning company on the side. Once I got to a point where I felt, I could sustain myself on that company, jump ship from the corporate world and started to develop the wedding planning. Moved here about 3 years ago with the intent to open a second branch of the company and had far too many bridezillas. So kind of was reevaluating some things and ironically enough, stumbled across a place called the Pie Shop in Buckhead.
Oh yeah.
You guys had the pie?
Yep.
It's delicious.
It's right off of Roswell Road.
Yes. Mm-hmm. But I went on her Facebook page and saw that customers were interacting. No one was responding. I wasn't sure if they were open. She didn't have the hours or the pie flavors. So as a customer, I was hesitant to go in. And a few weeks later, I drove by, stumbled in, met the owner, and had seen such success with our social media sites for the wedding planning company. And pitched to her, you have a wonderful product, you need to be engaging and building relationships with your customers. Can I help you do that online?
They crowdfunded on Kickstarter, didn't they?
I think she did. For the second location.
That's right.
And so it grew from there within the first month. As a business owner, she said, yes, I don't have the time, the bandwidth, or the expertise. And from there, we started growing very rapidly. And I realized that there was a niche and there was a need for small to mid-sized companies that wanted a personal hands-on approach as opposed to passing it off to an intern or someone.
Yeah, absolutely. There's a niche and there's always riches and niches. So there you go.
You were going to say something else. You said that.
So you're like, I think the only business owner I met with an actual entrepreneurship major. Now I've met people who took entrepreneurship classes and all that. So I'm highly intrigued by that. So what would you say is the biggest takeaway that you received from being a major in entrepreneurship?
I think there might be a commonality or trait for entrepreneurs that, and it might also just be me, but school was not necessarily the, studying and test. I always wanted to be doing and creating and starting a business. And one of my favorite classes in the entrepreneurship program, creating a business plan. And so I actually created a wedding planning business plan in Chicago prior to moving there. So I knew all the competitors. I was ready to just kind of kickstart it right when I moved there. So actually applying what I was learning was really, really a neat part of the program. Hmm. So the business plan.
So just as a follow-up to that, how would you respond to people who say that entrepreneurship can't be taught in a classroom?
Great question. I think that it absolutely can. I think you have to understand that you're not always going to know everything. And so you have to be willing to put in that personal growth and soak up all the knowledge you can. And by having wonderful professors and wonderful role models and speakers that come into the classroom that can instill that knowledge in you and provide that resource, I think absolutely.
What's your other out, Chris? It's basically failure and legal bills. That's the other way to, education entrepreneurship, right?
Absolutely.
Especially the legal bills part. That always seems to come. Always, they say something like, you're not really a business until you get sued for the first time.
Yeah, that first time. Yes, absolutely.
That hasn't happened yet, though. So how did you end up coming up with the start? Did you literally get the one customer at the pie shop, or how did you come up with startup capital to really get the business up and going?
I worked out of Panera for the first year.
Did you really?
Just use my own computer.
So got a booth and an all-day cup of coffee, and you're sitting there. Mm-hmm. How about that?
So didn't have, other than the website and, the LLC with LegalZoom, it was not a ton of overhead.
Very, very interesting. So you're now a couple of years into this, I guess, and obviously sales are starting to grow. How do you keep yourself motivated as the owner? How do you keep yourself motivated to push yourself now that you're like, wow, I actually have a business. I've got employees here. We're up and going. How do you keep yourself motivated to keep growing?
All of our client success has been extremely motivating. Waking up each day and working with a slew of other entrepreneurs that I can learn from and that we're growing alongside is extremely motivating for me.
Hey, you're listening to The Shrimp Tank here on Atlanta Business Radio X. We're coming to you live 4 p.m. to 5 p.m. every Tuesday. So put it on your channel. Listen to this and you will start to learn some serious things about entrepreneurship from some of the best entrepreneurs across the state of Georgia. You're also doing something great here because I'm sitting here with Chris Hanks, who's the executive director and founder of the KSU Entrepreneurship Center. They're literally teaching college kids getting a degree in entrepreneurship and going to high schools across the state of Georgia. We just did one a week ago where these kids are in contests for real prizes, real money to grow businesses. And it's very, very exciting. Look, everything's not learned in a textbook. This idea, this notion of entrepreneurship, we think is going to continue to grow. Every week, we bring you a segment on here that we basically call Hot or Not. We like to ask our entrepreneurs that we bring on here some, they won't be too racy questions today, but just some questions. So we can get your take on things. So the first question on here is hire family members, hot or not?
Not.
Not?
Not.
Is this a bad Thanksgiving holiday story?
No. My uncle and my dad are both entrepreneurs, and at one point they worked together, and they brought, different personalities to the table, but it just wasn't a good mix. So I have that background. That's probably what steers that answer.
Did you find it? Does it carry over in the holidays? That every Thanksgiving, every Christmas, everywhere you go, it's constant yip 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 about business.
No, not between them. But no, it's good now.
So, marry an entrepreneur or date an entrepreneur, hot or not?
Hot. I think so for sure. Well, yeah.
You said that with such enthusiasm too.
Well,
so
I hope my boyfriend
she's an entrepreneur.
Agree,
yeah. So you're like.
I think so. I mean, entrepreneurs are extremely driven and motivated and think big picture and are excited about life for the most part. So I say 100%, and I hope my boyfriend thinks the same thing.
It's either that or a crash and burn scenario, right? Well, it is true though, but in these relationships, you really have to start to say to a significant other or a spouse, I had to say it to my wife, let me just tell you what life is going to be like, because your day's not 9 to 5, is it?
No, by no means.
Yeah. And actually, and research has shown that usually with most CEOs of businesses, either the business suffers or the relationship suffers. Yeah. It's few of us that can do both without having an impact. Yeah. So usually one, there's tension there that one tends to give way to the other.
Lee says that the divorce rate is 75 to 80%.
Yeah, that's one of the questions about fear, and that
we had it. We had a straw poll sampling at an event we went to the other week, so it was somewhere in that. It was somewhere in that ballpark. How about hot or not? Pay bonuses out to employees. Is that hot or not?
Definitely hot. I think you need to reward your teammates for great work, and especially in a startup environment, if you don't have, you know, capital.
So I was going to say, in a business like yours, that's a recurring revenue business. You bill people. You have to do social media. How do you bonus someone out? Do you do it on top line sales, or are you going to do it on their own production? You know, how do you even go to think about that? Or somebody who's listening, how would you educate them on that?
I think you have to kind of get scrappy and think out of the box on how to reward the team. We have an internal program. It's our Monopoly program, but the entire team is incentivized to reward other teammates by giving them $5. And so it adds up at the end of the month. And although it's, you know, it's a $30 Starbucks gift card here and there, but the entire team gets an email, you know, recognizing another teammate's success in something. And I think you just have to think of the out of the box ideas to, you know, incentivize them with those bonuses.
Yeah, because sometimes it's not the dollar amount, it's the significance attached to it.
Mm-hmm.
I've literally seen a company where people hung up fun-size Snickers bars on their cubicle because they were that excited about getting one.
I could use one of those today.
Hangry?
Yeah. So I guess in kind of going on that same theme, hot or not, promote from within or go outside to get talent?
Promote from within. I think people already in the company have the best gauge of your company culture and the big picture. And that's just another great way to reward your teammates. So I would say hot.
Well, we're in this hot or not session. We've got a couple more that we'd like to go through. We're here with Chantel Cleef, who's the owner of Imagine Media Consulting. It's a growing social media firm. She does great work.
Thank you.
And works with all different kinds of industries. I was just curious, is there an industry that you specialize in?
All right. We used to say food and beverage, retail and e-commerce, but by no means are we pigeonholed into those.
Got it. So hot or not, incorporate or not incorporate?
Hot.
And why would you say that? So why would you say to get to be a corporation?
I think once you get to a certain amount of revenue and for tax, you know, and ownership and liabilities, you incorporate.
All music to my ears. Tax, protection, liability. Money, I love all that stuff. I love it. But I think that the truth is, a lot of people don't realize when they start a business that de facto, the day you start bringing in money, you're a business.
Mm-hmm.
And then people don't realize that first year about how to pay taxes and do things like that. It can be very difficult when an owner starts their business. And then until they meet with the tax man the first year and they say, wait a minute, I was supposed to withhold money? I didn't know.
Yeah, exactly. What's that about?
Nobody told me I was supposed to pay anybody. And that's where the IRS says, we don't care. We want your money one way or another.
Yep, absolutely. Okay, so you mentioned this word, and some people in entrepreneurship consider it a dreaded word, but you mentioned business plan before. So hot or not, business plan.
So I did mention business plan. I guess this was going to bite me in the butt. I did not make a business plan for this company.
So you did not?
I did not. We were very much flying by the seat of our pants and not being as proactive.
Which is okay if you've got thick pants.
Yeah, so.
Are these like the tough skins that you have when you were a kid?
Yeah, exactly. Like that? So that strategy works if you've got really thick pants. Otherwise, you know, you're but shows pretty quick in entrepreneurship if you're flying by the seat of your pants.
And so that said, very much now we're starting to, you know, systemize and put process in place and, you know, think mission statement and put it on paper as opposed to just being in my head.
I will say on a side note, Chris, that the tough skins, you know, really the worst thing growing up as a kid is that they had all sizes. And today they say the sizes are like small, medium, large. They had one size as a kid called Husky.
There you go. And your thighs rub together as you walk down the hallway at school with your Huskies. So absolutely.
There's nothing worse. You could be called large and you could be called husky. There's just something about that word
absolutely.
That just makes you seem like you're super, in size, you're super size down there. So very, very interesting stuff. You're listening to The Shrimp Tank here and maybe a little bit of pop culture on Atlanta Business Radio X. I'm here with Chris Hanks, my co-host. I'm Ted Jenkin. We're talking with Chantel Cleef, who's the owner of Imagine Media Consulting. And we were through our hot or not session. And so we come to this time in our program where we have a fun thing. We have to say we might have stolen this from Andy Cohen, but it is pretty darn funny. It's called the Plead the Fifth. And we want to ask you a set of questions. You can plead the fifth to one of these. I guess you could plead the fifth of all of them. There's probably not much we're going to do. But at least one of them, we were going to have you plead the fifth. So how about the first question on here, which I think I know which direction you're going to head, is that, is it a good idea to marry an entrepreneur?
Yes.
Yes.
You say that sheepishly. Yes. So what's
well,
the...
Well, I mean, I am a female entrepreneur, and so I hope that, yes, someday someone wants to marry me.
There we go.
But would you want to marry an entrepreneur yourself, or would you like
I think I would have a
9-to-5 kind of normal existence?
I would have a better understanding of what it takes to be an entrepreneur and the mindset, and so I personally could be okay with that. But until you own a business and go, you know, work all hours of the night and wake up worried about something and have that fear, you know, I don't know. It might not be for everyone.
Okay. All right. So your most significant disappointment. And again, you could plead the fifth if you're not comfortable answering, but your most significant disappointment.
Well, a lesson that I've recently learned is hire slow and fire fast.
There we go.
So a disappointment would just be sticking it out for too long.
Yeah, they say the most expensive time in your life is the time between when you lose faith in someone and the time you do anything about it.
It's a good quote.
Yeah, it just blew your mind, didn't it?
Yeah.
Hanks is full of them. I like that. I like that. Have you ever, since you started the company, come close to missing payroll, or did you ever miss payroll?
No, not yet.
Never,
no.
Huh?
That's really
awesome.
Excited.
I recommend doing it at least once. Freak your employees out. It's no
problem.
Well,
what do you do when you miss it? What, do they not get paid?
They don't get paid. Somebody will be knocking on your door. It might be your car door when you leave the building, but they'll be knocking on a door somewhere. But it's, you know, that happens to some people. They come close to sweating it and they miss payroll, but that's fantastic.
Well,
I think someone
on your team mentioned do a savings of at least 2.5 months of expenses.
Mm-hmm.
So,
I mean, for cash reserve in the bank, it's a great idea. And a lot of business owners don't have a cash reserve. Like the bank is basically the business checking account and they milk the business. And a lot of businesses don't set up cash reserves like you should do in your personal finances. And it's smart because there's always going to be a lean month of sales or an unexpected bill, or you realize one government agency didn't get their take and they finally come after you and say, hey, we need our money. It just happens.
Yeah.
Or December and May, those third payrolls. I didn't realize that until December.
In a 26 pay period, that happens. That's not fun.
All right. So what ticks you off?
People that don't work hard. Or that they don't wake up every day excited or recharged and they're complacent. That really ticks me off. People with a poor attitude.
Yeah, it really drains you, especially as an entrepreneur when you have to keep your energy up. You're the CEO. You're the one that's basically driving the train. And all of a sudden you get a bunch of, you know, Nelly Wellies in there that are just, you know, they bring you down. It's the Debbie Downers. They're terrible to have around. I can't take it either. They're terrible. That and bad drivers. Laura reminded me on the way here that I have a road rage traffic.
You have a road
problem.
Rage issue?
I don't really have road rage. I'm not going to pull people. I'm not going to push people off the road. But I will say that I might have one or two profane words might have come out of my mouth.
Atlanta might not be a good city for you for driving.
I get it all out before I come on the program. That's the good stuff. How about... and entrepreneurs don't get a lot of time off. You know, the business can be 24/7. If you were able to get a week away from this and did not have to touch email, would you have a dream vacation, a place that you could say, if I could just get away for a week and not have to deal with this at all, where would you go?
I'm a big proponent of doing that once a year anyway.
Nice.
If I can make it happen. Went to Italy last year. The next on the list, I'd love to go to Morocco or Japan.
Nice.
Yeah, wow. Just explore.
Yeah. No, good. What are you afraid that your competitors will find out about you?
I think that, can I plead that
you
one?
Can
I
plead wouldn't that want one. Yeah, you can plead after you still have it, right?
I'm thinking about it.
So yeah, so you can definitely, hit the plea button and you're good.
I hit it.
All right,
Thank God. I got the drugs question. That's coming up. I'm curious on a side note on this because we didn't get a chance to talk about it today. Is that you're located at a site now in Pond City Market called Industrious. And for many, many years, there's been sort of this office co-location model for firms like Regis, what has been very, very successful. But to me, Industrious looks like a much more modernized approach to co-location or cohabitation, however you want to have it, shared office. Would you recommend for somebody that's starting a business that going into that kind of environment, especially where you are, is a good idea? And if so, what have you learned being in a sort of a co-location type space?
Absolutely. I think it's a wonderful idea. It gives everyone the opportunity to collaborate. And we've, found so many resources. So if we need a web developer, you know, they're down the hall and we can pop in and ask a question. I think it's a wonderful opportunity to network with other like-minded individuals, people that are going through the same struggles and triumphs, and celebrate with them and be able to bounce around ideas. So I love industry.
For the young entrepreneurs that are listening, what does a cost structure look like? You don't have to give away all the costs, but the ballpark of saying, okay, I'm going to start this business. I want to be a web designer, mm-hmm. or I've got that kind of business that I could start in a one-person shop. What kind of costs are they going to look at monthly to get that up and going?
Well, I know there are a variety of different co-op spaces in Atlanta. I think Industrious is a little on the higher end, but I do think they offer a lot of value in different ways. You can get kind of the collaborative space without a closed door, perhaps, I think, 100-ish
a month.
So the
Mark Cuban space.
Yes. That's like a hot desk?
Yeah.
Yes, a hot desk. Okay. Or you can have, you know, your own office space. And then if you are a startup, just be comfortable with working in small settings with a lot of people. We're squeezing in six in a four-person right now.
Oh.
But it's, again, that collaborative team environment that's important to us. Hmm.
So what would you change if you could change one thing about you as far as your business leadership? What would it be?
I haven't figured out a knack for having those tough conversations yet. I get really shaky and it's not comfortable. It doesn't come natural to me because I care about all of the teammates so much and I care about where the business is going and I have so much passion for it that it's upsetting when I have to have these tough conversations and I'm very involved in that. I feel very involved. So that's one thing I would change. I would just kind of man up and bite it by the bullet or whatever that phrase is.
Some cases it never gets easier. I've been at it a long time having tough conversations. It's never easy.
Yeah.
No,
I'm thinking
fun.
About having one tomorrow and it's not going to be easy.
No. Keeps you up at night for sure.
Yeah.
And who's your most hated competitor now in the city?
Oh, and I already plead one.
well, if not hated competitor, you know, who are you out to knock off the totem pole?
Well, you know, those interns. So, I mean, I'm a big proponent of students and entrepreneurship programs, but the interns, they, you know, undersweep our prices always.
So young kids that are like a one-man band or one-woman band out of their house, and they say, I'll do it for $300 a month.
Right, or the business owner will say, you know, I'm hiring an intern to manage our social media, and it's, you know, an unpaid program for them, so no cost. But they don't get the strategy or expertise.
Okay, complete softball. What are you most proud of?
My hard work, my determination, not going to give up, maybe. Yeah, I think the perseverance is something that I'm very proud of.
Yeah.
I don't think it's easy, but I believe in myself.
Well, I think what you're doing here is phenomenal. The fact of getting into such a highly competitive business today, being able to scale to, you know, six employees in a four-person office that quickly is pretty amazing. And, you know, it's a credit to the answers that you gave today. For folks that listen to the show today and they hear the replay too on shrimptankpodcast.com, how can someone get in touch with you or your company, find you on the web, if they want to hire you to take over the social media in their business?
Absolutely. If they want to check out imaginemediaconsulting.com or follow us on any of the social media channels at Imagine Media Consulting. And then if they'd like to direct email me info or Shan, S-H-A-N, at imaginemediaconsulting.com.
I like that. Shan.
Shan. It's a nickname.
At Imagine Media. I like that. At imaginemediaconsulting.com. Well, I recommend that you do if you want to get high quality work with one of the best and fastest growing companies here in Atlanta. You should definitely take a look at it. Next week on the Shrimp Tank, we're going to bring you some great stuff on here. We've got the owner, Brandon Lewis, of many businesses. We'll have to ask him next week which business is the real hat that he's wearing. But he is the owner of a new speakeasy called Supply and Demand, which is fabulous if you haven't checked it out. He's also the president of Click Models and an owner of an insurance company called Benchmark Consulting. So how does one wear three different hats and three different businesses and still make it all happen? We'll find out next week on the Shrimp Tank at 4 p.m. with Brandon Lewis. Come join us.